official K-1 podcast, K-1 Battlecast. You'll get news, fight reviews, and fighter interviews. And now, your hosts, Michael Shaverov and Jonathan Shea.
It's good night, Iran!
Hello everyone, welcome to K1 Battlecast. This is Jonathan Shear filling in for Michael Shavello, and he is on site today with the fighters, and no doubt he is racking their brains and scouring their minds for any kind of tidbit that he can throw to you during the amazing tournament that is going to take place on July 7th, the K1 World Max 2024 Final, the first final in 14 years. Both Michael and I were there last time when Giorgio Petrosian won it, and we are looking forward to it. I cannot tell you how excited I am, and I hope you are all feeling the same, because this is going to be an historic event, no doubt about it. And in preparation for the highly anticipated tournament that's going to take place this weekend, we have collected for your listening pleasure all of the 7 fighters who we've interviewed over the last couple of months, and we're going to play those in succession for you today. But we're not going to do it in the order that we took them in. We're actually going to do it in the order that Michael seeded the tournament, going from 8th seed to 1st seed. So in 8th seed, we have Viktor Akhmov, the Russian adventurer. And just as a caveat, I want y'all to know that I was kind of forced by circumstance to be both the interviewer and the interviewee through voiceover. So take a listen.
Viktor, thank you so much for joining us here on K1 Battlecast, and congratulations on your March 20th victory, as well as making it into the July 7th tournament.
Thank you very much. It's been my dream to get here, and I'm incredibly happy.
Looking back on your tournament win over Nakajima, you were able to down him twice. Any thoughts? How was it to fight Nakajima?
It was a setup. I knew my opponent was a classical boxer and wouldn't expect this punch. I prepared for it, and it worked out perfectly.
We understand it was a very sudden offer. How many days did you have to prepare for this fight?
I found out about the fight just 3 days in advance. 10 days before that, I had another fight, which I won. I planned a rest, but on the 17th, I learned that the fighter from Africa, Umar Samata, hadn't arrived. I had no time to prepare, but somehow I managed to come out on top.
So your coach Danilo asked you to go?
Yes. We had the conversation. I was with somebody late at night, and I was wondering, is this real or am I dreaming? I replied, asking for some time to think, as my thoughts were too scattered to make a decision.
So you'd only fought a few days before you took this fight. That's amazing. Did you have any injuries left from that fight?
No, I was very lucky not to be injured, and I was ready. Everything turned out fine.
What were your thoughts about K1 before you had the chance to fight?
This is a completely different level, like night and day. I've dreamt of being in K1 since childhood, and achieving it feels unreal, like being in a movie.
When did you start studying martial arts, and when did your fight career begin?
I grew up in a small village, in a settlement, as they call it. Besides a small school for classical boxing, there was nothing else. And even that was not in my village, but in the neighboring one. A coach came to our school, and he invited us to train at school. There was no choice, only classical boxing. So I started with classical boxing when I was 12 years old. Later, as I got a bit older, it coincided with the popularity of K1. I started attending high school in the city, and in high school, I began practicing Thai boxing, kickboxing, when I started going to the city from my village.
How old were you when you decided to become a professional?
This is an interesting question. For a long time, I always thought that sports for me were like a big hobby, so to speak. I didn't believe that I could become a professional. I trained, but I didn't know that I would succeed. I came to Thailand specifically to train in Thailand, and there I ended up in a camp where there were professionals, and I started boxing with them. I realized that I was no worse, and often even better. And from that moment, I believed in myself that I could become a professional. So around 26 years old, I decided to turn pro.
That's really late.
Well, it is quite late. I mean, it's rare. Youth is fleeting, and I knew if I delayed any longer, I'd never achieve my dream. So I went for it, and it seems to be working.
Romano Bogboard said that after seeing your fight, he wanted to face you. How does it make you feel?
Great. Awesome.
How do you expect your fight against Bogboard will go?
Our goal is victory. I mean, now that I'm here, the focus is solely on winning. We'll prepare, we'll train, and strive. I'll give it my all.
In order to take the title, you're going to have to win 3 fights in one day. What are your thoughts on the tournament, and do you think you have what it takes?
I'm sure it's going to be terrible. I asked Coach Danilo many times not to put me in a tournament. But since it's K1 and it's my dream, I can't refuse. The tournament rules are tough, and this is going to be my first experience.
Are you worried about fighting 3 fights in one day?
Worried? There's a saying, if you've stopped burning with passion and worrying, you need to stop boxing. Naturally, the worry is there before every fight. Otherwise, it wouldn't be interesting.
Is there anyone else that you're looking forward to facing in the lineup?
The bracket is already set, so I don't have a choice. Naturally, we'll go through the bracket and go through the tournament. Everyone is good. It's very difficult to talk about a specific fighter. All of the fighters are athletes. They're all professional. I can only speak positive about everyone.
What are your thoughts about the wild card? Any ideas who it'll be?
Well, there's rumors that Buakaw might take the wild card spot, which would be huge. He's a legendary figure. And being able to compete on the same stage as Buakaw, that'd be totally unreal.
What are some names of fighters that especially stand out in your mind? Any fighter that you looked up to back in the day?
There were so many legendary fighters during that time. I feel it would be a bit inappropriate to point out just one of them. Especially in the 70-kilogram weight class, which is my category, there were many excellent fighters like Petrosian, Zambitis, and Buakaw. K1 really has made a comeback. I mean, I relate to it, like I mentioned today, that it's almost as if I've stepped into a movie or I'm in a dream. And that's how I feel. I mean, I joined K1 precisely in the year when it returns to the international level. It's so cool.
Can you finish with a message to the fans?
K1 gave me a great nickname, the Russian Adventure. I'm on an adventure from Russia. And I would say people look at me and believe that anything is possible. Everything is possible. At any age and no matter where you're from, everything is possible. I mean, look at me. Here I am living my dream in K1. And that dream is a reality. Victor, thank you so much for joining us today on K1 Battlecast. Okay, moving on. Now let's listen to an interview with a fighter who many viewed as an underdog in the March 20th qualifying tournament here in Tokyo. Kasper Musinski is a fighter who showed incredible resilience and great determination to win his victory over Stoyan Koprivlensky, a fighter who many had highly favored to win the March 20th tournament. Instead, it was Musinski who punched his ticket to go on to the finals, and we had a chance to speak with Kasper at his home in Poland. Let's have a listen to Polish Power, Kasper Musinski.
Kasper, thank you so much for joining me on K1 Battlecast. How was it that you got signed to compete in the K1 Max Final 16, and what was your reaction when you got the call up?
I won 3 weeks before four-man tournament in Italy, where I meet Brunelli, the samurai strength. And the price of this tournament was ticket to K1, but not that maybe not that soon. But someone get out, and I get the spot. When I get the call up, I was very excited about it. I waited all my life to get that opportunity.
Did you grow up a fan of K1? And tell me about your experiences of watching K1 as a youngster.
That was a big part of my dreams when I was younger, to be there, compete there. I was a big fan of the Wakaf, Saki, Pedro Ertz, and all the top fighters. I watched them, and that was big fun for me.
Kasper, I've got to ask you, who is your favorite K1 fighter of all time and why?
I think my favorite fighter is Gohan Saki. A pure dynamite. His fights are always excitement. Pure power.
There are so many great K1 matches in history. If you could choose just one, though, what's the greatest K1 match you ever watched?
Well, I think Zambidis versus Jagit. Full of action. Great fight. I think the best one I ever watched.
Great match. Good choice. You came into the final 16 as a relative unknown. Is that a role you enjoyed playing as the unknown underdog?
Okay, I never got the opportunity to show my skills before. I know that nobody knows me, but I always believe in myself, in my team, and what we do, how we do. Now it's my time to get more attention from the fans, to show them that I'm worth to watch.
What were your thoughts when it was announced that you would fight Stoyan in the final 16?
Well, I was after two fights, one before. I thought that the opportunity may not come anymore, so I took a risk.
What was Stoyan like as an opponent? How do you rate him?
He's the world class fighter, one of the best I ever faced. So it was great experience for me. I need a fight like this to improve my skills and my experience as a fighter.
What was the recipe for success, Kasper, against Stoyan that night?
I put everything in the third round. I know I have to push myself to the limit, and I did it. I get a knockdown, he get a count, and I won the fight.
So on July 7th, you were going to face the bewitching prince, Zora Akopian. And again, people are saying you're a big underdog. Does that bother you at all now? Or do you think you deserve to be the favorite? Or, you know, do you relish being the underdog?
Well, it doesn't bother me at all. I really don't care about it. I have work to do. Zora fight with more top guys, but I think I got the weapons to get win over him. And now I just focused on the camp, on the work, and we'll face him July 7th, and we'll see who's better. But
what are your thoughts on Zora and how he fights?
I watch his fight with Natchuk, so I can say he see the fights, he know how to react, he got a dangerous right hand, so I have to stay focus on the whole fight.
Kasper, Buakaw is being mentioned as the possible wild card for the tournament. What are your thoughts on Buakaw perhaps entering the K1 Max final on July 7?
Buakaw is the top star of the Muay Thai and kickboxing. He has his fans get all over the world. You may not see any fight in Muay Thai, but in here Buakaw you will see that guy, so he's a top star. It's very good for promotion, but I think a crazy thing for me to fight with him.
Casper, tell me about your camp for the K1 Max final. Have you started camp yet? How long will your camp be? And what does your training consist of every day?
So I will start main base for my camp next week. Now I build a strength base. In the next weeks will be go on Monday morning conditioning and strength and power. At the evening I will be hit some pads and a lot of punching. And Tuesday I'm going conditioning a little bit lighter and a light spar at the evening. Wednesday will be the same as Monday. On the Thursday we will see the mobility training on the morning, and I will hit a light spar with pads. Friday recovery at the morning with my physiotherapist, and then hard sparring, and Saturday I will go really hard strength conditioning with a lot of punching, and Sunday I will take a rest. So it will be hard time for me, but I really enjoy it, so you will see the best version of Kasper Muszynski in July.
All right, moving on, let's spotlight a fighter from the Netherlands ranked 6th in this 8-man lineup by Michael Chavello. That's Daryl Verdonk. He's a protege of the inaugural K1 Max champion Albert Kraus, and he's known for his aggressive style and nearly superhuman determination, which has earned him the nickname the Beautiful Werewolf. We had the opportunity to speak with Verdonk a few weeks ago, and we'd like to share that interview with you now. Please take a listen.
We are joined now by one of the final 8 combatants for the K1 Max Finals on July 7 in Tokyo. It's the representative from the Netherlands, Daryl Verdonk. Daryl, thanks so much for joining me on K1 Battlecast. Daryl, I want to start by asking, what was your reaction when you got the call up to fight in the K1 Max Final 16, and how did the opportunity come about?
It was in the weekend. I was away from home with family for a couple of days, enjoying the weekend, relaxing and eating out. Then I got the call and they told me I was going to be part of the K1. I was really hyped up. It felt like a dream coming true, being part of the K1 and going to Japan, which are 2 things that were on my bucket list.
Daryl, you've mentioned your relationship with the first ever K1 Max champion, Albert Kraus. Tell us about how you met Albert and how he has helped your career.
Before I started kickboxing, I was watching K1 with my grandfather and brother. And at the time, Albert Kraus was part of the K1. So he was one of the reasons I started to like kickboxing. Albert is part of Team Super Pro, which I'm also part of. And when I was younger, I always saw him at the Super Pro events. The first connection started as he liked my fighting style as a kid. When I became older, we started doing sparring sessions together, and our fighting style is quite similar, so I learned a lot from the sparring sessions with Albert.
Who were some of the other K1 fighters you loved watching and why?
I've been watching a lot of K1 matches at that time, and I was always amazed by high pressure and explosive combinations. So I like watching all the matches, but of course, you always have some favorites. 2 fighters which I really liked next to Albert were Andy Sauer and Buakaw. I liked Andy Sauer because of his explosive combinations, always bringing the fight. And I liked Buakaw because of his strong and explosive kicks.
What was your favorite K1 match of all time?
The match that I can really remember is the fight between Albert Kraus and Buakaw. I can remember it was action from the first round. Both sides were coming. Buakaw came with the explosive middle kicks, low kicks, and Albert came with high pressure, a lot of boxing, feet work. Yeah, it was fire from both sides, and that's, I think, one of the reasons I can remember this fight quite good.
Daryl, the Netherlands has produced so many great kickboxers throughout history. Why do you think that is, that such a small country has produced so many successful fighters?
I think fighting is in our DNA. As you know, the Netherlands is known for the Dutch kickboxing style, which is performing really well around the world. Next to our fighting style, you also need great coaches, and I think the Netherlands has a lot of them.
What were your main takeaways from your victory over Hiromu Ujima, and what did you think of him as an opponent?
Ujima is a talented fighter. He has strong and dangerous kicks. And I think his strongest point is keeping the distance and making his kicks. So before the match, I knew I had to close the distance, which would make it harder for him to kick and make it easy for me to work with my hooks.
What do you believe contributed to your win over Ujima, and how was the win received back in the Netherlands?
I think the high pressure was something he couldn't handle. I was going forward, walking through his kicks and punches, which resulted in ending it in a first round knockout. I received a lot of support from my home country before the match and after the match, and now they are all looking forward to the tournament.
Daryl, everyone seemed cautious about facing Ouyang Feng at the draw. Can you share your impressions and evaluation of the Chinese fighter?
Ouyang Feng is the current champion of the K1, which he is for a reason. He is good with his punches and kicks, got a good conditioning, keeping the pressure on his opponent. And I see him as a strong opponent, but I'm convinced that I can beat him.
You're facing Dengue Silva, the towering Brazilian, in your first match of the final tournament. What are your thoughts based on Dengue's opening performance, and what kind of match do you expect against him on July 7?
Dengue did a good job against Riku. He finished the fight early because of a cut in Riku's face. He did well, keeping the distance and using his reach, but I'm not impressed by his performance. I expect a good fight between us because a good fight needs two good fighters. And I think the fight will be a war, with me coming out as a winner, of course.
Daryl, winning the final tournament requires 3 consecutive victories in one day. What do you feel you need to do to focus on winning the championship? And can you talk a little about your strategy leading towards July 7?
A strong factor of me is my endurance, which is, in my opinion, very important for a tournament. So I will focus on developing my endurance. And my strategy is to focus per match. Without winning the fight, you won't proceed to the next round. My fighting tactic is fighting like I always do, high pressure and finishing the opponent.
Your resilience is really notable. How do you mentally and physically prepare to handle the onslaught from your opponents?
I started kickboxing when I was 8 years old. And in all the shows, I didn't only learn how to punch, but I also learned how to take a punch. And I think my will to win is bigger than the moment of pain. As you know, pain is temporary.
I've got to ask you, besides yourself, who do you consider as the favorite for the K1 Max final on July 7?
I have to go for Feng. He's the current K1 champion, which makes him the favorite in my eyes. He's a good fighter, and there's a good chance that I'll meet him in the second fight, which of course will be a great fight.
Daryl, here's the million-dollar question. If Buakaw is named as the wild card for the tournament on July 7, what impact will that have? And what are your thoughts on Buakaw possibly coming into the K1 Max final tournament?
I think it would be great. Old school versus new school. Buakaw earned his stripes back in the day and is still very active as a fighter. If he faces Feng, I expect a tough fight between them. And if we both win, we will face each other, which is crazy, as I've been watching him since I was a kid.
Can you give us a message to your fans in Japan and around the world as you prepare for July 7?
I'm really thankful for everybody supporting my journey. I promise I will keep making everybody who supports me proud. And this is only the beginning of something big, so keep supporting me on my way to victory.
Moving on, let's take a look at Michael's fifth-seeded fighter, Stoyan Koprolensky. This Bulgarian fighter out of Mike's gym in the Netherlands joined the lineup somewhat late as a surprise replacement for Ouyang Feng, the Chinese welterweight champion, who is currently sidelined with a broken rib.
I'm joined now by the man himself, Stoyan Koprolensky. Stoyan, thank you so much for your time joining me on K1 Battlecast. Mate, I want to ask, what was your reaction when you received the phone call to replace Ouyang Feng in the K1 Max final?
My reaction was excitement, especially when I heard that I would fight with Buakaw. I was really happy. Honestly, I was thinking that I should stay ready for the tournament because there are 8 fighters and there is always a chance somebody to get injured during the preparation. So I was kind of ready. And still, when I heard I'm going to fight with Błachał, it's a great feeling. I was thinking a few years ago, is there any chance someday to fight with him? And that's going to happen on 7 July.
Stoyan, you and Big Mike Passanier will be studying Błachał closely. Do you think he can knock out Błachał, or do you think he'll win by decision?
Of course, I believe I can knock him out. I believe in my skills and in my talent. I'm not looking for a knockout, but I'll try some techniques to surprise him with. The winning is the most important for me. It doesn't matter how it comes, by knockout or points, is the most important.
Looking at the opposite side of the draw, Stoyan, it's stacked. Who do you think will get through from that other side of the draw and why?
From the opposite side of the tournament, they're all great fighters. All of them got good chance to get to the final. For sure, good fight is definitely Mushinsky with Akopian. And if I'm in the final and I have to choose who I want to face in the final, definitely that's Mushinsky. Would be a great fight.
On your side of the draw, you'll face either Dinge Silva or Daryl Verdonk in the semifinals. Who do you expect to face out of those two?
Silva is a tall fighter and has a lot longer reach than Verdonk. This fight is really hard to predict. Silva is very unorthodox fighter and can surprise the Dutchman. But also, he is too open and Verdonk can get him with some punch. I see it like this. If Silva can hold a long distance, he will win. But if Verdonk can go closer, he's much more combinative and can make his points. It's a tactical fight, by my opinion. I don't think much on it. I'm fully focused on my fight with Błachał.
So, Stoyan, how do you prepare for a fight of this magnitude on shorter notice?
Yeah, it's a short notice, but I was already in shape because I was supposed to fight in K1 in Romania on 13 June. But my fight was cancelled there. The opponent got injured. And then on the next day I heard that there is a chance to fight in the tournament. So I didn't stop training. The only difference is I had to adapt to my trainings to the Błachał style. But that's fine. I'm ready, sharp and focused.
Would you like to see more legends come back to K1 Max? The likes of maybe Albert Krauss or Giorgio Petrosian, Andy Sauer, you know, those sort of legends?
Yeah, for sure I want to see more legends coming back to K1. It's really nice. It brings back some good feeling about the tournament. Also, a lot more hype. And as we can see, Błachał is still in shape. And it will be interesting to see him fighting at that age, and even more for me fighting with him.
Finally, Stoyan, how will you be different to the Stoyan we saw in the final 16 back in March?
I don't want to excuse myself about the loss in March in the 16-man qualification, but before the fight I got some injuries. I had to recover and also a bit problem with my cutting weight. I had a lot to drop. This also take a lot of energy. And now I'm not making that mistakes. I'm healthy, I'm strong, I'm ready, conditioning is on point, also sharp, fast. So now it's gonna be Stoyan Koprivlensky, as you know.
Stoyan Koprivlensky, thank you so much for your time and good luck against the legend Błachał in the quarterfinals on July 7th.
Next, we have an interview with the fourth-seeded fighter by Michael's rankings. It's Romano Bakbord, who Michael and I actually bumped into yesterday, and he's looking great. He's in good shape. He is known as the Mad Monkey, and he aims to become the Monkey King if he's crowned the K1 champion. We had an interesting conversation with him as he recounts his journey through martial arts and why he came to be known as the Monkey. Let's have a listen.
Romano, let me start by asking, you came into the K1 Max Final 16 on short notice. How long before the fight did you actually find out you were fighting?
Michael Polano, my trainer, taught me 10 days before the fight.
What was your reaction when you found out you were invited to the K1 Max Final 16?
I felt happy and see it as a dream come true. I work for it since I was 5 years old, so I was very excited, very happy.
Were you a K1 fan growing up? Tell me about watching K1 as a kid.
Yes, for sure. I was a big fan. Everyone should be a fan of the K1, especially back in the day. If they don't, then I think they must have been living under a rock or something. But no, I was always watching the K1. And what I can remember, I was watching it on the videotapes. And after the videotapes, my brother and I pretended that we were also going to fight, and that the K1 in our room, that was crazy, crazy times.
I've got to know, who was your favorite K1 fighter growing up?
I have not really especially one favorite, because there were so many good fighters at that time. I can't choose one, but for sure, in my favorite list, Remy Bunyoski, Andy Sauer, Buakaw, Masato, Badahari, of course, and as the host.
My favorite K1 fight of all time, I mean, there's a few, but I've got to put Mike Zambides versus Chahid right up there. How about you? What was your favorite K1 fight of all time?
That is very easy. That is 1,000% for me. Mike Zambides versus Chahid Ulid El Haji. That fight was crazy. 4 rounds of full action.
Crazy, right? And I was there that night. Now, you fought Tan and Chai in the final 16. Some people believe that Tan and Chai won the fight after 3 rounds. What are your thoughts on the scorecard after 3 rounds?
I don't agree. A lot of what he did was on my cover and besides, and he was just walking backwards the whole time and holds me a lot. And the K1 criteria is about the fighter who makes the fight, come to fight and is more offensive. And make the better clean shots. And that is what I did. And that was enough.
You increased the pressure in the extension round. Tell me about your strategy in that 3-minute extension.
No, it's not very special strategy. The only thing that I know on that moment is that I have to give everything and work even harder to convince the jury and win the fight.
Romano, it's always a cauldron that you jump into when you're fighting in Japan, particularly in Tokyo, for the first time. What was that experience like for you?
It was very, very wonderful experience that I want to experience much more. It was going quick. I can't wait to be there again and enjoy more and more and more.
Moving forward to July 7, you'll be facing the man with the spinning back fist from hell, Victor Akimov. Tell me about your thoughts on Victor's fight against Rei Nakajima.
Rei make it easy for him because he was walking or moving on him to him with his hands low. But Akimov punished him well. So that is what he's doing is great.
Do you believe you come into the fight against Akimov as the favorite or the underdog?
Really, I honestly don't care about that, and I'm not focused for now on that. But I'm sure I will be the favorite fighter after the fight.
Okay, so also on your side of the draw, Romano, is Zora Okopian and Kasper Majinski. Who do you believe advances to the semifinals out of those two, and why?
Oh, honestly, no idea. I think they will be very evenly matched, and I think that will be a technical, beautiful game. But I hope for the winner that he comes with not too much damage, because I'm still waiting for him in the semi-final.
Besides yourself, big question here, who do you consider the favorite to win the K1 Max?
Everyone can be the favorite. That's not the problem for me. But my job is to make sure the whole world knows who the man is with the monkey mask. And after that day, July 7, I will be the favorite.
Now, Romano, the wild card may be the great Buakaw. If it is Buakaw, what are your thoughts on him coming back to the K1 Max?
I hope he is there. And that I mean, meet him in the final. That will be the icing on the cake. If he is not there, I want to face him after this tournament. Tan and Chai was seen as the next Wilco, and I defeat him. So now it's time for the real Wilco.
July 7 on paper feels a long way away, but really it isn't. Have you begun your camp yet for the K1 Max final?
Yes, of course. I rest my body for 1 week after March 20, and then I start again with my training camp, and I feel my super fit and even more focused. So I'm full in my training camp.
What does a day of training look like for you?
So I train 9 times a week, 3 days a week, 2 times a day, and 3 days once, and 1 day rest. In between, I often visit the physiotherapist, the masseur, for a massage, and I visit the sauna, and I'm very busy with my diet. And of course, after all my trainings and everything that I have to do for July 7, I cannot to forget that I'm making time for my son. That's my biggest motivation in my life.
Romano, it's been so wonderful talking to you, brother. Can you give a final message for your fans, both in Japan and around the world?
People, the monkey is coming. Be ready. July 7, I will leave my soul in the ring. See you there.
There he is, Romano Buckboard, joining us on K1 Battlecast.
So Buakaw was ranked as Michael's third-seeded fighter, but we weren't able to manage an interview with the superstar. Instead, we'll seek him out and other fighters at the press conference tomorrow. That's July 6th. We're going to have a press conference, and we're going to try to grab as many people for on-the-spot interviews as we can. So check out our socials. They'll probably be up there. Okay. Instead, we're going to shift our focus to the second-seeded fighter, Dengue Silva from Brazil. And if you find yourself getting heated up watching this fighter, you are not alone. He's known as the Big Scorching Mosquito, and his fighting style is infectious. So let's tune into our interview with him. And just a heads up, you'll be hearing the voice of Dengue is actually a friend who speaks English on his behalf. So we hope you enjoy this. Again, it's Dengue Silva, the Big Scorching Mosquito.
Dengue Silva, the Big Scorching Mosquito, thank you so much for your time. I want to ask you, what was your reaction when you were invited to be a part of the K1 Max Final 16?
It was one of the best news of my life. I always watch K1 from the social media, and now being part of it, it makes me very happy.
So like most of the other K1 Max fighters, did you grow up as a fan of K1? And tell me about watching K1 as a kid.
Actually, I started a little bit late in the sport, 18 years old. But after I found myself as a fighter, I just found out about the K1, and then after that, I was watching all the fights. I never let any fights without me watching.
Who was your favorite K1 fighter growing up?
I always liked a lot Buakaw. I always watch all of his fights. He's a big inspiration for all the Muay Thai kickboxer fighters and for myself too.
What was your favorite K1 fight of all time, whether it was heavyweight or middleweight?
I think Buakaw versus Masato, K1 final 2004. This fight is amazing.
So Dengue, you fought Riku in the final 16. How did you rate your performance in that fight? Was it perfect, or do you think you could have done anything different?
Actually, I did an amazing presentation to the Japanese crowd, and I think I let everybody know about me, a good impression about me, you know.
Your height is obviously a major factor of your success. How do you train to fight tall and use that natural advantage?
I think every athlete has something that makes him different. My height makes me different from other fighters. I think that besides that, being very technical and smart is one of the best things that I have.
Would you describe yourself as a counter fighter?
Actually not. I'm more a hunter than a counter fighter. I don't stop punch my opponents until he's on the ground.
How does it make you feel, Rafael, to know that you are the tallest fighter in the history of K1 Max?
Really? In the history of K1 Max, I'm the tallest fighter. It's amazing to know that, and I'm very surprised, actually. But I'm very happy to be part of K1 history right now.
It is amazing that a man of your size can make the 70 kilo weight limit. What's the secret to being able to make the weight at that tremendous height?
Actually, I'm already a very light fighter. I don't lose that much weight to fight in the 70 kilos category. Actually, I think you'll be surprised if I fight on the 66 kilograms category, because my height and my weight will make your jaw drop.
So you avoided Ouyang Feng at the K1 Max draw. Why did you decide to go to the empty slot and not face Ouyang Feng in the quarterfinal?
I didn't avoid Ouyang Feng. I only chose him to win for him in the semifinals.
Besides yourself, do you consider Ouyang Feng to be the favorite on July 7? And if not Feng, who else?
Ouyang Feng, he's not favorite just because he's a champion. He's not a favorite. I'm the favorite here in this competition, and I'll be the champion on July 7.
You're going to take on Daryl Verdonk, who selected you because you are Dengue. Here's Daryl. There's something about the letter D that he enjoys. So it's Daryl versus Dengue. What are your thoughts about the Dutch fighter Daryl Verdonk?
Actually, Verdonk is a young athlete that has a lot to learn, but he's already showing an amazing stand-up game in kickboxing, and this really excites me.
How do you think you beat Verdonk? Do you knock him out? Do you decision him? Maybe a stoppage by a cut again?
For sure, our fight is not going to go to the judge's hand. I'm going to drop him, for sure.
So, Rafael, Buakaw may be the wild card for July 7. How do you feel about it if he is named the wild card?
As I said to you guys, I always follow Buakaw's step and watch his fights and get to know that he could be my possible opponent. Makes me even more excited to face him, you know.
Rafael, you're on side A of the draw on July 7. Who do you see making it through to the final from the other side of the draw?
Actually, for me, it doesn't matter who comes or who will make to the other side. I'll be the champion, and that's what matters the most.
Rafael Silva, thank you so much, mate, for joining me on K1 Battlecast.
Last, topping Michael's list of favorites for July 7th is Zora Akopian. The fighter with Armenian roots trains out of Minsk, Belarus, and he's often been compared to Giorgio Petrosian for his exceptional distance control and precise judgment of an opponent's range. Now, he's known variously as the Bewitching Nobleman or the Bewitching Prince, but one thing is for sure, Akopian is a top contender for the K1 World Max title. We are all set for an exciting fight day on July 7th, and we hope you've secured your pay-per-view tickets on Fight TV or Stream Ticket. Check out the links in our show notes and follow us on social media for updates. Now let's jump into our final interview with Zora Akopian. We hope you enjoy.
Zora Akopian, thank you so much for joining me on K1 Battlecast. Were you always a fan of K1 growing up?
I've always been a fan of K1 since childhood, and I enjoyed watching the champions.
Who's your favorite K1 fighter of all time?
My favorite is Giorgio Petrosian. He was twice K1 World Max champion. From my point of view, he was one of the best fighters.
I want to ask you, what did you think when you got the call up to be a part of the K1 Max Final 16?
I thought I became one of the best out of 16 fighters all around the world that deserve to perform at K1 World Max 16.
So tell me about your fight in the final 16 with Taras Natchuk. What did you think of your performance?
I think that Taras is a worthy rival, but had found better tactic, and that brought my victory. And according my performance, it seems to me I didn't actually unleash my potential.
Looking back at the fight against Natchuk, do you think you could have done anything differently?
As I said early, I think I could do much better.
So the K1 Max final is on July 7. We're almost there. When did your camp begin for the K1 Max final?
I kept training even after the fight with Taras, so we can say I have no break.
Can you run me through what a day of training in camp consists of for you?
Usually I wake up at 8 a.m., have a light breakfast, get ready to first training at 10:30 a.m. It lasts two and a half hours. After I have lunch, I am resting a bit. Next, I have training that lasts 2 hours. Later on, I have my own time and then go to sleep.
You're going to fight Kasper Mezhinsky in the K1 Max Final quarterfinals. What are your thoughts on Kasper?
He's an aggressive fighter that always moving forward. He was a nice punch, but me and my coach will find the key of victory.
How do you think you beat Kasper Mezhinsky on July 7?
I am going to win a victory over him, and I think it will be clear during the fight.
Zora, who do you think makes it through to the final from the other side of the draw?
I think I will be in the final and the Ouyang Kfeng because he is K1 champion.
Besides yourself, Zora, who do you consider the favorite for the K1 Max final?
I don't know who its fighter is, but I think all of us have a chance.
People have said that you remind them of Giorgio Petrosian in the way that you fight. Would you agree with that?
In my childhood, I watching a lot of Petrosian fights and try to repeat his way of fighting. Later all, I have my own style.
Let's talk about the draw for the K1 Max final. And I've got to ask, why did you avoid Ouyang Feng in the draw?
Because fans will be interested to see us in the final.
Lastly, Zora, can you give a message for your fans worldwide?
Stay tuned and support me through all my way.
Zora Akopian, thanks so much for joining me on K1 Battlecast.
Well, that's all the time we have for today's episode. We hope you enjoyed it. And my goodness, so much to look forward to on Sunday, July the 7th. It is going to be a day of unprecedented entertainment, excitement, and I'm imagining the upsets, the crazy finishes, the down-to-the-wire matches that only K1 Max can provide. It is going to be historic. And I don't say that lightly. I've been waiting for this tournament to take place for 14 years, and I'm so excited to see Bua Cao back in the K1 ring. I cannot tell you. Please check it out on pay-per-view. We have it on Triller. We've got it on Stream Ticket. And all the details will be in the show notes, so check those out. We will also be doing live streams from the hotel where the press conference is going to take place tomorrow again. So check out our socials. We're going to have a lot of fun stuff up there for sure. Until next time, I'm sure you're going to be watching the pay-per-view, so enjoy that. And we're going to have a recap next week of all the exciting happenings that are sure to take place on July 7th at the Yoyogi National Gymnasium here in Tokyo. Until then, this has been K1 Battlecast. I've been your host today, Jonathan Scheer. We hope to see you at the venue. Bye-bye, guys.